You're listening to a Catholic news podcast from the Catholic Bishops Conference of England and Wales. Why not use iTunes to subscribe to our podcast? Simply search for Catholic News in the iStore. Hello and welcome to another Catholic News podcast. Great to have you with us. In today's programme, we look forward to the Holy Father's ecumenical pilgrimage to the Holy Land. That's from Saturday the 24th to Monday the 26th of May. Pope Francis's visit marks the 50th anniversary of a great step towards Catholic Orthodox unity that was expressed by Pope Paul VI and Patriarch Athenagoras of Constantinople in Jerusalem in 1964. Now, the successors of those two men, indeed of the apostles Peter and Andrew, Pope Francis and Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew I, will renew that commitment during this visit. So, today we're talking about Christian unity, and our studio guest, Father Mark Woodruff, is very well placed to discuss this. Father Mark's a Westminster priest who's the vice chairman of the Society of St. John Chrysostom, a society that works and prays for the unity of the churches of East and West. I asked Father Mark to talk to us about the significance of the meeting between the Pope and the Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople.
The Western Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox churches who use the Byzantine Rite, the Rite of the Church in Constantinople historically, have been in formal separation since 1054. So after many, many hundreds of years of estrangement, in the 20th century, the Catholic and Orthodox churches have been overcoming their estrangement and their separation and getting to know each other. And the seal was remarkably set upon this rapprochement when Pope Paul and Patriarch Athenagoras met in Jerusalem 50 years ago. The conditions for all the churches have changed in that period quite considerably. The world has globalized. The Catholics are everywhere where the Eastern Church is now. And the Eastern churches have accelerated because of the way the world has gone. Their diaspora right across the West into Europe, South America, into Australia and surrounding regions as well. So it's simply the case, I think, that we are so much together and coming across each other that our unity and our friendship and our solidarity and our common purpose are ever more important to each other. And 50 years on from that meeting, it's not just about commemorating a wonderful and momentous event in the past. It's about addressing a present reality together and in a much closer friendship than ever before for many centuries. When Pope Francis was installed, it was the first time that the leader of all the Orthodox in the world, the principal bishop of all the Orthodox world, came to Rome to witness that event. And you may remember that Pope Francis referred to him as my brother Andrew. And we've to look no further than the scriptures to see how important the brotherhood of Peter and Andrew were then and remain for the church. It's a missing family relationship. The whole of the church is everywhere and is all meshed together and side by side. And it cannot be for the future of the church and therefore the future of the world, standing before God and its progress in the kingdom, it cannot be that Peter and Andrew remain separate. So let us say that Pope Francis leads roughly a billion, much more than a billion, of the Latin Roman and Eastern Catholics in the world. Patriarch Bartholomew is the spiritual leader looked to by a quarter of a billion of the world's Christians. So even though there is a disparity in size and the Orthodox churches are composed of separate and self-ruling churches, but in communion with each other, nonetheless, these are two sizable blocks of Christianity who share so much, both in their sacramental and liturgical life and their view of scripture and their view of the proclamation of the faith to the world. So it is most important that Pope Francis treads the steps that Pope Paul took 50 years ago, not just to recapture a historical moment, but because the walk together has actually moved on and Pope Francis and Patriarch Bartholomew are, as it were, catching up on a very fast-moving journey that has been going on together, animated by that first encounter 50 years ago.
Now, I want to get to grips a bit with the position, if you like, of the ecumenical patriarch Bartholomew I of Constantinople. Now, I've heard him described as the first among equals. I must confess to a slight ignorance as to the organisational structure of the Orthodox churches. So tell us a little bit about how the churches are organised and Bartholomew I's position in that.
In the Orthodox understanding, so it seems to me, there is a recognition that each church is self-ruling in its area. It has the leadership of a protos, a first bishop, who acts in synodal agreement with his fellow bishops in that territory. So he can't act without them, but they can't act without him. And when those various separate provinces, patriarchates, primatial sees come together as a whole Orthodox church, no one of them is in charge over the rest of them. They only have authority within their respective jurisdictions. Nobody has the right to take over the whole discussion or determine what will happen in another church. And it's important to remember that the ecumenical patriarch title makes sense in an ecumenical church, in other words, a united church in which the Patriarch of Constantinople, the second in order after the Pope in the Universal Church, has a significance that is for the whole church, not just the Orthodox Church. But since the breach in communion between the Patriarchate of Rome, the Latin Church headed by the bishop in Rome, and the church in Constantinople, the Patriarchate of Constantinople, it's meant that there is not a place occupied that used to be occupied by the Bishop of Rome in relation to all the other churches. So there isn't the role that Rome might have had in the early stages of being the point of reference, the point of appeal, the point at which a council could be summoned together or its acts ratified. So since the time of the schism of the church, the schism between East and West, there hasn't been the ability for a leading bishop in the Orthodox East on his own initiative to call a general council to resolve various problems or address them. And nonetheless, the Archbishop of Constantinople remains the senior in the remaining hierarchy. Others come after him. And it always happens that when they do have a meeting, or there's a meeting between the various Orthodox churches, it's either the patriarch or his representative who is given the primacy of honour. Many of the Orthodox, I think, would envisage a church of Catholics and Orthodox united in which that idea of a primacy of honour is recovered and is accorded to the Pope as the principal bishop of Christendom. But they don't see necessarily that, according to their experience of 1,000 years, you necessarily need a Pope who is the Bishop of Rome to be in charge of everybody in the way that he is for the Latin Roman Catholic Church.
And finally, Mark, now I know obviously you have an ecumenical heart and have dedicated a lot of your life to this as well. Do you foresee full communion in your lifetime?
I long for it and pray for it, and I believe it is possible. The trouble is that we are sinners and we live in a world of politics and negotiation. There are things that we value and love that keep us separate, and my hope is that we will be converted and given such grace that we can remove those obstacles to our union and communion that we have placed in the way of God's sovereignty. Because from where God looks, there is one church. His Son has only one body. When it will happen, how it will happen, will be up to God. He will reveal his miracle in his own good time. But it must happen because it is the known will of Christ. It was the thing he prayed for on the night before he died. It is the thing that we must urgently seek to achieve, because the world deserves to hear from one united church the one gospel of the one Lord.
Father Mark Woodruff there, Vice Chairman of the Society of St. John Chrysostom. For more on the papal visit to the Holy Land, do please check our website, catholicnews.org.uk. And of course, we're on Facebook and Twitter, Facebook/CBCW and on Twitter @CatholicEW. Well, thanks for listening. Do stay tuned to our podcasts, and we'll return with another one very soon.